Good evening, workshoppers. It's a new week and a new episode as we go and continue to keep the stream streak alive. We've had a lot to talk about in terms of the Diablo these past couple of weeks, hence why I've been having so many new episodes and such. And I wanted to kind of like cap this off with some of my thoughts on where, you know, the franchise, or specifically Diablo 3, is sitting at this point in time. Because we've had a lot, you know, over the last couple of seasons where we've had some really big changes, especially for something that would, you know, be considered in maintenance mode, you know, a much smaller, kind of like a shrunk skeleton crew as far as the development team goes, but an extremely passionate and motivated development team that wants to go through and continue to make Diablo 3, you know, kind of like the best experience that it can be. And this comes along. I wasn't originally go. I didn't, you know, have this planned or anything to go and coincide with it. But, you know, as it's a West March Wednesday, so we obviously have some official news posting to go and talk about. I wanted to just kind of hit on this one real quick. As we talked about in the last episode of Dreadscythe, there's some wonkiness that's kind of going on with the seasonal theme for season 21. And they're working on it. And so today there was a hotfix that was applied to go and change some of the larger issues with the game. And the big ones that they're going and focusing on are the accessibility issues. Things such as the lightning flashes, the horn, the noise like that blares whenever the seasonal theme starts. Addressing some of the functionality problems such as pets not generating stacks, so the seasonal theme I was talking about, and some of the issues that I've had with, you know, it's great that we've got this awesome new set for the necromancers, but unfortunately, because it uses pets, it was getting a lackluster benefit from the seasonal theme itself, because those kills from the simulacrums weren't counting. As well as some kind of the more exploitier changes that they went through and are addressing. It does affect you know, more so the solo mechanics than it is some of the group mechanics that they have going on, where you can't trigger a seasonal theme in the outside of the Greater Rift and then teleport back in to the Greater Rift in order to get it, you know, get the, you're looking specifically for meteors or the lightning blast or something along those lines. You get a good one with all the mobs that are already kind of like grouped up in the rift, and then you teleport back in, blow them all up, you know, with that preferred, you know, seasonal theme, and then go and continue on your way as you've just got a huge amount of progress. And you know, I'll speak to that one more in a little bit, because there is some still issues that's going on, you know, with the seasonal theme and such. But you know, I just wanted to kind of dig a little bit deeper into just what Diablo 3 has to look forward to at this point in time. And I think the term maintenance mode we can pretty much go and put to rest, because the dev team has gone through and has fully shown that this game isn't really in maintenance mode. Well, obviously, like, GGG has a much larger staff that's dedicated in going to updating Path of Exile while they continue to work on PoE2. The Diablo 3 team is definitely making do with the resources that they have, and I would actually want to wager to say that it's probably a bit bigger than what a lot of people would expect. We don't officially know what the numbers for the Diablo seasons are. You know, we don't see their player base. You can go and look at, you know, you can look at Steam and see how Path of Exile is doing and such. But I would not be surprised if Diablo 3 is far more popular in like certain orders of magnitudes than other ARPGs, just on the basis that they've sold far more copies than any of the other rivals that would be out there. People always tend to go through and discount that, you know, by a lot. And you're talking that if only like 1 out of 1,000 people that purchase the game are still playing it, it would still be larger than you know, most of the rivals out there. It would mirror what the average, like, kind of like peak day-to-day activity for Path of Exile is on a regular basis, you know. And so that's just, you know, the number of people that are going through and playing it. And what I would actually use to, like, back up this theory that I've been, you know, having in the back of my head, and but not really having any proof to go through and show it, is something that simply has happened, you know, recently. And we had a new job posting specifically for Diablo 3. And so they're now hiring a senior technical artist characters with the main job of going in and, you know, working with rigging and things of that nature. You know, it's not so much a character artist, but more specifically a technical artist to go and, you know, work on character models. So that way, if they're going through and introducing new art assets, that, or if they want to go and edit a skeleton or some form like that. Yeah, and by skeleton, I mean the actual character skeleton within the game itself. That they now have that ability to do so, because as far as that we know, is that whenever they want to do new art assets for a season, such as the new season, the new sets that they've introduced for all the classes, they have to get someone else on a different team in order to make those assets. They don't have an artist on the D3 team, and so they have to petition, you know, either someone that is working on a different project within Classic Games, or maybe even petitioning someone, you know, in Team 3 that's now working on Diablo 4 that would still be, you know, familiar with the tool sets and such to go and make these items. And, you know, there's obviously, they've shown something on their side, you know, at Blizzard, that there's enough interest, that they're still generating enough a large enough player base and potentially enough sales to go through and say, hey, look, you know, we've got some metrics that can go through and prove that our team should increase. We need an in-team artist that can go and work on these projects, because everything that it is now, and this is something that's, like, really big in this particular seasonal theme, is a lot of reused assets. You know, the lightning from Diablo, or the meteors from Belial and such, that they're all going through and, you know, getting reused. But if they have someone that can actually go through and tweak a character model, you know, can design, you know, a new class set, or, you know, create new skins for a monster or something along those lines, then there's a lot more that they can do. And I think that that's a great sign, not just of how many people are continuing to go through and play the game, because you can't go off of Twitch numbers and you can't go off of subreddit activity, because, you know, if you go through and say that, then there's some really super popular games out there that, you know, that they're popular and tons of people are playing them that are below, like, their competitors. When you actually do have, like, some of those metrics that are out there, and that, you know, doesn't really, you know, you can use that as an argument of how popular it might be, but just because people aren't watching it doesn't mean that people aren't playing it. And with them, you know, expanding the team, that means that there is obviously some good that's happening, you know, within the realm of Diablo 3 that would warrant them adding that second person, or, you know, that third person, you know, on the new artist. And I think that also is an indicator of what they want to do going forward. We now have all of these class sets that are, you know, created and are out there. So what comes next? You know, we've had a lot of fun. You know, the majority of the new sets that they've introduced for the classes have been fun. They've been shaking up the meta, changing how the game is played. You know, and when you go through and you look at it, you know, there's also some changes that they've made that have made some old sets, such as, like, the Barbarian, you know, in particular, kind of rise to the top with just a couple of little tweaks here and there. And that's my thoughts on what is going to be going, you know, on with the game moving forward. That you'll actually have, now that we have all these new sets out there, that they're going to go back and start addressing or tweaking some of the numbers for some of the underperforming sets. You know, like this particular season with the Narya set starting for the Necromancers, it's not bad. It's kind of like a good set to, like, get you started, get your feet wet, get into, like, you know, straight into Torment 6 or what have you. And you can play almost anything with it, you know, so it's depending upon what, supplementary or auxiliary legendaries that you get, you can kind of work into anything. You don't have to feel pigeonholed into one particular style. Imagine, like, you know, when the seasonal opener, you know, swings back to Tragolz. That's gonna be difficult. That one is not gonna be a happy season, you know, if you're going through and wanting to start Necromancers, because that set has dropped off considerably in terms of power, just the same as Anarius has. Pestilence is still, you know, up there in competitive, just because of the volume of attacks, that even though its damage modifiers, you know, aren't quite that high. That one will be a difficult one to balance, I'm sure, just because, you know, it doesn't have as high of a multiplier of a lot of other class sets do, but it's throwing literally hundreds of attacks at a time, you know, at any particular target, so it kind of makes up for it, you know, quantity over quality. And there's other class sets, you know, Marauders, you know, outside of the M4, N4, you know, hasn't really seen the light of day in forever. There's a lot of class sets out there that could use some love. And I'm hoping that the devs, now that they've done a new round of class sets, can go back and start doing a round of balance changes, you know, for some of these old ones. You know, I would love to see some more, you know, supplementary legendaries created to help prop up or support some of those builds. Or even just, you know, it would be like this time last year when we had the newly developed crafting sets, you know, the Ogchilds, you know, the Captain Crimsons and things of that nature, that really helped like shake up the meta and give people a lot of opportunity to change things around, play with different builds, and open up, you know, how they wanted to go through and build their sets. It kept the Ring of Royal Grandeur you know, relevant and things of that nature. And so there's a lot of things that they can go through and do. There are still some, you know, sets that they could potentially, you know, look at adding some tweaks here and there, you know, to make some changes. There's a lot of different things that they can do, you know, with the game, with how many legendaries there are that still don't have powers, you know, or if they want to better define, you know, some of the sets to push them more one way than another. Now, I'm, you know, I play a lot of Necromancer, so my examples are going to be more Necromancer based, and for that, I'm sorry, you know, but you can easily do a buff to Tragolz without actually buffing the set, by adding in like a supplementary bracer, which, you know, there are no real Necromancer bracers, that specifically increases the damage of, you know, like Blood Mages or something along those lines. Or, you know, gives you a damage increase when you use a blood spell, you know, or something along those lines. You know, there's things that you can do, or you gain a damage reduction increase equal to, you know, a certain percentage of the health that you've spent in the last 10 seconds. In, you know, for when you're using those blood spells. So there's things that can be done to help supplement those classes or those sets that don't see quite as much play, and that is what a lot of this free development time, I imagine, is going to be devoted to, since they're not spending a lot of their time. It's like, you know, every 3 months you've got a small team that's having to come up with and develop and implement an interesting seasonal theme, as well as creating like a couple of new class sets, you know, going back and balancing some outliers such as Valor Crusaders or, you know, Mundanugus and such, and then maybe add in like a couple supplementary legendaries to prop up these new builds that they're creating, you know, or even just something simple like adding Impale damage to Holy Point Shot to try and, you know, bring Shadows and Pale up there a little bit. There's plenty more that they can do for that, and then going through and getting a technical artist that could go and handle things, you know, such as the unique effects for the seasonal theme, handle, you know, those mechanics and that side of it, you know, leaving the other devs more time to focus more on, you know, itemization changes and things of that nature. So it actually is a pretty big thing of just adding like this one additional job. Of, you know, how much freedom that it's going to give the developers, just in the terms of things that they can do that doesn't require taking an asset that already exists within the game, so they can be a bit more ambitious, and as well as just freeing up the time that now the developers, you know, aren't having to also go back in and, you know, rig the special effects and things themselves, that they'll have someone else dedicated on the team specifically for that. And you know, I feel that this is just even more kind of proof that they are going to get more ambitious with the seasonal themes, and that's what it kind of comes back to with the season 21. Now, this is a more kind of like fleshed out season 19. Obviously, it's still fraught with its own issues that we see in today's hot fix and some stuff still going forward. But it definitely was one of those ones where it's like season 19 definitely fell a little bit flat, especially with the more hardcore lowercase h community, that they kind of got bored with it, and it created some interesting play mechanics, but it also created some uninteresting play mechanics that led to kind of unfun gameplay and things of that nature and exploits and other things. And that this seasonal bonus, because it's actually you know, it's still tied to how many kills that you get, but it's not an ever-expanding thing. You can't just group a whole bunch of enemies, get 5 kills, turn that into 15, turn that into 50, turn that into 250, turn that into 500, now kill the Rift Guardian. And you have to kind of stagger it out over time. But you can also still, you know, try and make a push for get one seasonal theme to kill off like the last, you know, 30, 40% of the Rift. You know, take that huge kill streak. Just wait a minute and a half for the Rift Guardian to spawn, and then hope to RNG that you have a good one, get the crotch lasers, and then all of a sudden burn down the Rift Guardian in no time. But you know, the hot fix that they did today is definitely a step in the right direction, that they're continuing to want to you know, perfect what it is that they're doing. And they also have mentioned, you know, that wasn't the only thing that we had gotten, because there are some you know, kind of exploitive game mechanics that aren't yet addressed in this particular hotfix. You know, there was a post that they were going through and talking about some of the exploits that haven't been fixed yet, but Pez Radar wanted to go through and jump in that there is an additional hotfix that's going to be coming to address, you know, some of these items. So there are some things they're going to continue to do, and we had a little bit more clarification on that one, is that from the design team, you know, the seasonal buff being passed around in groups is working as intended. You know, so if one person gets a kill, that kill will be added on to the seasonal buff of other people in the party. That's intended. But the idea of people grabbing stacks outside of a greater rift and then bringing them into the greater rift is not. So they're making that one clear, that even though you can still do it, and today's hotfix doesn't address that particular mechanic, that they will be addressing that in a future hotfix. So that is something that they are going to change. So if you're currently, you know, in one of those groups that's going in, sitting out there and, you know, just jumping into Fields of Misery or something like that, getting a huge 400 kill streak, and then jumping back into the rift before the seasonal buff triggers, you know, that is going to go away. Your clears are probably going to get cleared, and if you are really going through and pushing it in a way that you know that you shouldn't, you know, that might institute a ban. You know, because that's something that we saw in previous seasons. That's something that we've seen, you know, from all the way back years ago to the Blood Goblin exploit and such. You know, it's like, if just because they haven't fixed it doesn't mean they're not going to ban you for it. So they've gone out there and they've done something that they don't normally do, and they've said, yeah, we're gonna fix this, don't do it, you know, type thing. So that the onus is now on those people that are going to use, you know, you continue to use that mechanic. Those 150 clears that we have, or like the solo 150 clears of a support build, that are not going to stick. You know, how long is it gonna take? No idea. You know, something like this particular, you know, we're a week and a half in, and we got this hot fix for the accessibility issues, which in my opinion is much more important. Sure, you know, everyone would like to go through and fix the exploits that people are using in order to cheat the leaderboards, but some of the accessibility issues, such as the screen flashing, the loud noises and such, is actually affecting like a lot of people's ability to even play the game, period. And I think that they're addressing it in the right order. They're making it so that way, you know, people that have, you know, audio visual issues, you know, can't play the game in what its state was prior to today's hotfix. And hopefully that the changes that they implemented will help alleviate some of those issues and make the game you know, more inviting as it was in the past, and then go back and address, you know, some of these exploits later, you know, even if it takes, you know, the, you know, even if it takes that we have the next hot fix out by the end of the week, you know, that it won't really take all that much time. I imagine that it probably will be, just given, you know, we don't know how the back end of it is created, but having it actually clear when going into the Greater Rift might involve a bit more mechanical issues that they have to work on. But they definitely address, I think, the larger issue first, because you can always clear the leaderboards. You know, it might impact some people's enjoyment that, oh, I'm trying to go through and push to the top, and there's some stupid 150 clears that I'll never compete with. And that might kind of, like, kill some of your motivation and drive. But hopefully, now knowing that they are going to address it, and it's something that they've done in the past, where even if they might not necessarily instituted a ban for some of the people that have used, like, especially like in the season 19 clears, where they were getting the kills outside of the rift and bringing them back in, you know, very oddly similar issues, that they might not, everybody that exploited it might not have gotten banned for it, because you only did it once or twice. It was obviously, you know, there wasn't maybe necessarily a malicious intent. Those clears got wiped, you know, all those clears were eventually wiped, you know. I was also thinking about some of the big ones, such as like the Necromancer Deadringer exploit from a while ago. You know, that one took, well, it took quite a few weeks. I think that one was, what, it was almost 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks before they managed to fix that one. So it could take some time before they go through and get this one fixed. But it's a good sign that they do still have the integrity of the game, the integrity of the season, you know, in their crosshairs, and it's something that they're committed to. You know, not just going in, you know, this is the time frame where they probably would be wanting to spend a lot of time developing the next seasonal buff, but they're still having to go through and work on this one, and that's good, that's great. You know, you do have some instances such as Heroes of the Storm has their own type of seasonal theme. They call them anomalies. They put a lot of time and effort into the current one, which I think we talked about a little bit on the last episode, which was like weather effects and such. So it's kind of similar. There's a little bit of a zeitgeist going on over there in classic games, but you know, they ended up this week reverting it, and they're removing the anomaly because it was creating a lot of gameplay issues. Had some, you know, some performance issues that were impacting people by the weather effect itself, but also creating a lot of really unfun scenarios that the certain heroes were able to exploit, you know, the mechanic, or not really exploit, but they were able to use the mechanics to a much higher effect. You know, quick match, where you're not able to know what weather effect is going to be triggering when you go in, can severely negatively impact, you know, how the game itself plays out. And so, you know, they made a really hard decision of this thing that they spent a lot of time you know, working on, and pulling it, you know, which is not an easy decision at all to do something of that nature. You know, I don't think that the season 21 theme is bad enough that they would have to go through and do something to that nature, because you could just completely remove, there are still some visual effects tied to the seasonal theme that they could go and remove, you know, the screen darkening or lightening, you know, for like the, depending upon the weather of the stage that you're in and such, that some of that stuff can still be removed if they need to address the accessibility even further. At the end of the day, they can always address the actual damage scaling, you know, if it is continue to be like something that it creates kind of unfun play experiences at the higher end, that they can always address the damage scaling of it, because it doesn't always have to be a linear curve of where the mechanic just continues to go at the same rate. They can address it where it has like the first couple of stacks can go up, and then it kind of like plateaus off at a certain level in order to address it. But it's like, you know, seeing them try to make that season 19 theme kind of work again, I think is at least, you know, from the developer mindset, you know, they got a lot of feedback. They learned some lessons from there, and they felt as if they still wanted to do something like this. It's like, okay, you know, we didn't quite hit the mark, but we can do it. You know, we can actually make it work, you know. And so they tried again, and you know, it's still not quite working out. I'm sure that the way that they intended it to, but there's no harm in changing, you know, going through, changing things around and trying stuff that might not have worked before. See if you can, you know, try it and, you know, do it. And, you know, if you go and you look at Path of Exile, they have leagues that don't work. They have leagues that a lot of people will find that are, you know, unfun, or they don't appreciate the mechanics. There are dud ones, and it's going to be the same thing for Diablo 3, especially when they are going to be out there, you know, trying a whole bunch of different stuff. And I'm interested in seeing what they could do, you know, once we have that new team member added in. You know, though, given it's Blizzard, it could be 6 months before they hire somebody, and then you have onboarding time, you know, before they're actually like fully comfortable in their role. We're talking, it could be still like a good 3 seasons away before we see anything come of this new job posting. But I think we're still like in the beginnings of these actual big changes. It's only been like a year and a half since they've really been, you know, digging in deep with the seasonal themes instead of just double bounties or double goblins. They're doing things that really change up how you play the game. But I expect more ambitious seasons going forward, you know, them trying new and different things. I still would love to see if they actually tried doing some stuff with changing up how some of the core mechanics work. You know, a season of only Blackthorns, you know, something along those lines. It'd be cool. I think that there's a lot of good things that are going through and heading for the game. I think that there's we still have a lot of life left in Diablo 3. You know, Diablo 4 is still quite some ways away. You know, we don't quite know what the release window is still going to be like for Immortal, and even though they said they'd have regional testing out sometime mid-year, which is, you know, they still got like another month and a half in order to meet that. We have an investor call on, I think it's August 4th, that we should hopefully go through and learn something more. You know, Activision Blizzard is, you know, going to be partnered and is one of the developers to showcase some stuff over at Gamescom that we had confirmation on. We don't know if that means that they're going to be talking about any of the Diablo titles, you know, but we should have some, you know, word on Immortal. But we don't even know if the game would launch, you know, this year still. Talking with Echo, who I've been doing some lore videos over on his channel, you know, Echo Gaming Diablo on YouTube, that some of the big mobile developers like Supercell, Brawl Stars, one of the most popular games out there on the mobile platform, was in regional testing for 2 years. So, you know, Blizzard's first attempt at a mobile game, even though they would have liked to have launched it in 2019, you know, going through and taking a while, it's not that weird when someone whose bread and butter is mobile gaming, you know, takes 2 years of open market testing before they can get it to a point where they're ready to launch, and this is their first time developing a mobile game, you know, it makes sense that there's going to be, you know, some delays, and, you know, and we'll see where that goes and takes us. But until then, Diablo 3 is, you know, what we've got. They're obviously still D2, but there's not really any active development on that side. And I hope to see, you know, some more changes, some more ambitious seasons. I'd like to see them, you know, make some of the older sets a bit more playable. Because you know, I really like the Mask of the Burning Carnival for the Necromancer set. It gave them a nice varied style of gameplay that's different from how the other sets functioned. And if they continue to work on those same niches, you know, for all the classes, giving them a little bit more of a defined playstyle, even if it's not necessarily like the best. Like, I'm not sure if you'll really be able to get anything like on the Necro side that can compete with the two kind of top builds, Legacy of Dreams, the Corpse Explosion, or the Poison Scythe, just with how insane that those damage scalings are. Yeah, if I'm just going to be speedrunning, you know, Greater Rift 100s, you know, for most of the season, I'm fine. You know, being able to, like, switch back and forth between, like, a Pestilence build or, you know, the Burning Mask build. And, you know, if I want to try something different, you know, making you know the Rathma pet set actually be able to compete with the Legacy of Dreams mage build, which they're on completely different levels, and so adding some functionality to give those sets a little bit maybe playability is a good sign. And I think and I hope that that's where the team is going to be going now that they have a full set of class sets, said set there a lot, but a full set of sets for all the classes, you know, out now, you know, that took three seasons to go through and do. You know, will they make new sets in the future? I'd love to see a revive set, you know, or a revive build for Necros at some point. But I would also, you know, love if they went through and they started readdressing, you know, the maybe if they pick a couple of sets from every classes, or if they want to address just like one, you know, one class and redo all of one class sets a season, that'd be cool. Yeah, you know, I was mentioning in the before the episode, this one would be a little bit on the shorter side, but it's something that I wanted to go through and get out there because we've had some interesting developments that talk about the future of, you know, where D3 is going, and I think overall it's in a pretty good state. You know, we have devs that, you know, even when they miss the mark, like with this current season, that they're still in there. They're going through. They're developing hot fixes for it, and that I think you have to really appreciate that there's such a small team to go and be spending, you know, weeks developing hot fixes to get the seasonal theme in a good place that's playable and fun for the player base, when they would probably rather be spending this time developing the next seasonal theme. That's a big, you know, production, you know, kind of like time and budget sink to go through and be doing things of that nature. When you have a very small, limited crew, just having those same people that would be developing the content for the next season are having to work on fixing the current season, you know, that's a big decision. That's a big trigger to go through and pull and say, no, the season is worth it. You know, the expectations of what the player base have of being what, you know, what is good and what's playable is worth continuing to go through and work on it till the seasonal theme is in a good spot before we continue to go and work on what we're doing for the next season. And I think that you know, is more than anything very telling of, you know, the people that are entrusted to continuing the development of Diablo 3 while we wait for Diablo 4, and probably, you know, for some time after that. There's no reason that they have to, you know, shut down development or updates for D3 when Diablo 4 comes out. They still did, you know, some patches. There has still been a couple of patches for D2 to address some playability and things of that nature for it when, you know, after Diablo 3 itself had come out. So there's still some hope. There's still a lot of future. There's a lot of in the future for D3, and then like the one last thing is that I want to go through and touch on before ending the episode is there is one other job listing that's listed under D3, which is a senior software engineer for servers. But when you go into it, it specifically is StarCraft Remastered, StarCraft II, Warcraft III, and Heroes of the Storm. It doesn't mention Diablo, even though the job listing is for Diablo. And that just makes me think, you know, they had promised us a while ago that they were going to want to implement stash spaces, you know, an increased stash space, but it was going through and causing server stability issues. And that was the reason why they hadn't yet done it. You know, and we haven't really had any word on that. I think what it's been about 2 years now, you know, on those particular promises. But we'll see on that one. We'll see on that one. I can hold out hope, but you know, it's like because it's listed under D3, but you know, the job doesn't itself call out for D3 that we have some more stash space. That's if you like playing a lot of classes, it can become an issue trying to save multiple gear sets. You know, as I go through and I actually have a barbarian this season, that I'm working on trying to gear out a little bit, but everything, like my stash is full of all of my Necros stuff, trying to figure out and play, a couple dozen different, Legacy of Dreams builds, the Burning Mask build, and like a support build and such, that there's not a lot of room to just hold pieces, for the Barbarian if I wanted to go and give him a whirl this particular season. Yeah, here's hoping. And that will kind of bring the episode to a close. I did have, and I want to go through and say that 42, don't worry. I got your email, and I will go through and cover it. And I will be happy to do so on the next episode. As always, I appreciate all of you that went through. We're hopping in chat here with me tonight on the Twitch page. I'll be spending some time with you guys here in the after show. If you want to catch the shows live, it's at twitch.tv/blizzpro. I record usually every other Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. But you can always find the episodes. I upload all the videos to YouTube over on BlizzPro's channel. Just do a search for West March Workshop. And, we're on iTunes, Stitcher, and all those other types of good things. If you have any questions or feedback, please feel free to email me, westmarchworkshop@blizzpro.com. You can also follow the show. It's at the WM Workshop on Twitter. You can follow me personally. I'm at NineBallGamer on Twitter. And also, while you're still listening to it, some more shameless plugging. Please feel free to go through and check out Echo Gaming on YouTube. He's been doing an amazing job going through and covering all things Diablo Immortal. He is super excited for that game, and that excitement is contagious. You watch a couple of those videos, and you'll be loving it too, I promise. And if worst case scenario, he and I collaborated to go and do a lore series, which we just went through and finished up, covering kind of like the history of Diablo and where it leads up to Diablo Immortal. And hope to do some more future collaborations with him. Maybe Q&A, answer some specific questions and such. But go give that a listen. Go give that a watch. And with that, again, thank you for joining me here, and I will catch you all next time.